All right, calling the meeting to order. We have easily a quorum. We've got five here, so that's excellent. Good to see everybody. It's been a while since we met. I think the last time we met was back in June. So again, it's good to see everybody. All right, so let me get the agenda up so I can just see it. Right. So first up is approval of minutes. So if anyone wanted to take a second to read them, if they haven't had a chance, does anyone need a chance to review the minutes?
I read them already.
Okay, excellent. So do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, minutes have been approved. Okay. So next up is public comment. We don't have any members of the public here. Or would any members like to speak as a non-commissioned member or a member of the public? I think we've been doing that. So, all right. Very good. All right, moving on to the first topic, the field use form discussion. So I guess I'll kick that over to you, Taryn.
Sure. So we had a situation come up where we had someone had booked the fields. We updated that field use policy back, like right after I started. So it must've been before, you know, February, March, 2020, where we started to incorporate fees. And we didn't really change a whole lot of the other wording outside of just adding in the fees. So we had a group that had booked the fields in, he booked it back in like July with me for the fall. And he's an out-of-town user, but he booked, paid for the field for X amount of weeks. 2 weeks before this fall season started, we had someone who is a resident who runs a team who came in, wanted to book the fields, was given Mills Pond as an option versus Bowdoin because someone had already booked, was all confirmed, all paid. This person, the resident, was upset that he wasn't given the field that he felt was better. Because he was a resident. So even though he came in later, much, much past the point when someone else had booked it, he was upset with that. The way that the form reads is that field booking is done at the discretion of the Parks and Rec director. So at that time, I felt that having someone who had already booked, paid, done all the paperwork properly, had a confirmed space, that was settled. And so the way that I would look at that is someone who comes in secondarily a while after someone else had already booked it was still given a space, but he felt the space was second best to another space. So I guess I just wanted to make sure that if everyone read through it and kind of agreed to that wording, or if we needed to update the wording, you know, I do think it's a concern if we put in too tight of restrictions, because then it kind of blocks me in if there are situations where it's confusing, but I can also see where it's vague. And so that's confusing. So I just wanted to get all of your opinions on that. And if you thought we should update wording any further for the spring season, you know, we have a little bit of time to look at it and go over it before the spring, or if we were happy and okay with the way that it was worded at this time. Can't hear you, Maggie, sorry. No. No, sorry.
It was on mute, I didn't realize.
Oh, you're okay, Steve.
Maggie, yep. No, it was Maggie. Maggie, just unplug and plug your headset back in and see what it does. Go ahead, Stephen.
Okay. Just a couple of things, and it's really almost a legalese type thing. On the second page, you know, the general procedures.
Yep.
Here, the title is field use form.
Yep.
It probably should be consistent with it, you know, the field use request form. Like I say, it's just kind of a nitpick thing.
Okay.
The other thing, it might not hurt on the first page where it has signature, You also have a line below with print name. That way you really know who's, you know, you can, some people's signature, you absolutely can't tell who it is.
Sure.
The only other thing I wondered about, whether, you know, on the, again, on that page, the second page of general procedures, item one, the last sentence, the director of park and recreation or designee will review the application and be in touch regarding the status of use within 1 or 2 weeks time. And I was thinking as set forth in the, you know, the agreement here. Like I said, it's just a.
Okay.
So you see whether you think that needs to be done. But those are the only things I had. Everything else is okay to me.
Yeah, I mean, the history of this, right, was that we had people using the field, people who are out of town using the fields. When we couldn't, like our own constituents couldn't get to the field use. But I agree with you, Taryn, like making it too restrictive. Like there were times where the director had to make a decision between an external group that was like a baseball team or a softball team that was primarily not Canton folks. Like there was one Canton adult, say, and everybody was from other towns, and weighing the need for the field versus like a Canton kids team that was all Canton. Sure. And so it's hard to be too restrictive on it and still have that leeway. And also because sometimes you have to make a decision depending on when it comes in. The only thing I would say is, you know, do we say like after such and such point, we don't change it? I don't think I remember that anywhere when I reviewed the paperwork. Right. And so do we need to add a line like, you know, it will be reviewed, a decision will be made by a director. If there's no competing, you know, request, it will be, you know, at 3 weeks out, it will be, you know, confirmed. I don't know if 3 weeks is enough time, especially if it's for an organized sport, but.
Right. And that's, I mean, in this situation, it was an adult team that had been a long-term user and then a new team that was trying to start in. And the new team happened to be the residents, but they also didn't reach out until 2 weeks before they wanted to start, where the other group had reached out 2 months before he wanted to start. And so that's where my decision would have been. We had someone who did everything early enough out. And we also don't want to lose people who are paying for the fields, because then we're going to change either their space or if we have a space for them or not when they've been confirmed for a longer time. And we still had a space available for the other team.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys feel like there should be like a limit? Like at this point, like, I mean, even at work for me, if I don't request time off with 6 weeks notice, there's no guarantee. If I request it under that time and it's not going to affect patients, and they can give it to me, it's approved, but only before that is it really a guarantee. And so, you know, putting in a timeline, you know, once you're within a 4, 6, whatever you guys think is appropriate time frame, you know, it may or may not be granted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of think there should be some type of window of time, but Canton residents should be able to have access to the field over a non-resident. So if you kind of give some type of cutoff date that says in the disclosure that, you know, residents will still get preference of the field up to a certain point.
Yeah, I agree on both points. I think, you know, we have to look at, well, what do we want the outcome to be? You know, we have out of town teams using the fields that are paying for them. If we start giving, you know, to address the residents' question, right? They came in last minute and wanted preferential treatment. And, you know, from a fairness standpoint, I think you did the right thing, Taryn. You know, we already made a promise to somebody else. But going forward, you know, would we want to allow a resident to trump, you know, an out of towner for that space in a short turnover? Because what will happen is that out of town team will go somewhere else. And like you said, we'll start losing those out of town teams as we, you know, unfairly, you know, or fairly or unfairly favor our residents. You know, we are short on field space in this town, you know, and so we shouldn't have to compete as residents with out of town teams for field space, you know, from that perspective. Like, we don't want to limit the number of teams we have in town because our fields, limited field space is already being overused. So if we want to, you know, make more field space for our residents, we could tilt the scale in our favor. It's going to piss some people off, but we'll have more field space. Right. And yeah, but we'll have to make that conscious decision.
Well, I think though, somebody have, whether they're out of town or not, wants to make a commitment. Maybe the thing is you narrow your window. You can't have commitments before X number of weeks before this field is requested, because otherwise, you know, how does anybody, you know, do anything without some kind of time frame?
So what I can do then, I can update the form so that we'll have it ready for the spring season. You know, we can have it ready by the winter so that when these teams start to reach out, we'll have an updated form. And maybe that's the way to go, is to add in a time frame where we're saying, you know, after 3 weeks before a season begins, or even a month, you know, and I can try to look through other towns and see if there's anything to work off of from any other towns in that sense. But, you know, maybe after that point, if a team is booked, then the team is booked into that space, and then other spaces would become available, whether resident or not. But if we maybe set a time window, it kind of removes the question there. And then, I mean, I can hold them up until that time frame. So if people want to submit them, I can hold on to them until that window. And then let them know. I mean, I think that's still probably enough time to give people where they can let their leagues know that they have a space, just which one it would be. And so maybe it would take away the confusion. But I just wanted to get what you guys thought of all that, so I can update that and work on that, and we can kind of go over in an updated form in a future meeting too.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. So moving on to the next agenda item, outdoor fitness equipment planning and discussion. So that was something that was on the minutes from last meeting. So yep. I don't know, Taryn, if you have any updates on that topic before we begin discussing again.
Sure. So what I did, I reached out to, I spoke with Glenn Cassano from Public Works and kind of went over field space with him. I also spoke with Neil from planning a little bit, just to kind of get what the process would look like moving forward for that. My thought, I went and kind of walked around the park, and I'm sure you've all went and looked as well, is almost to do it along the outskirt of the facility and put, you know, we have a fairly large space on the backside of the basketball courts by the garbage, where we put the garbage cans. You know, that's kind of a great space to put either multiple pieces or like a starting ending point, kind of stretching out. And then work around, so kind of cross the entrance street there, put a piece over close to where we put the stage in the summer, and then move up kind of along the sidewalk around the front of the park. And I think we could work with them to design it where it's almost a loop. Because I went and walked up around, you know, the top of the field, and that's when we start to, if we were going to put pieces around back there, we would need to build a sidewalk up there, because it would need to be ADA accessible to get up there for folks. And then we also have it in the middle of, you know, a corner of a soccer field, or where during baseball season, a ball could go back and hit back there. And then it's also kind of a sharp end point on the back where it's a drop down next to the skate park. So my thought looking at it and kind of walking the facility was to do it along the sidewalk, because the needs to put in paving or ADA accessibility would be lessened because we already have that sidewalk in place, and then kind of design it where it's a lot of multi-use things that people could kind of loop back and then end back at that stretch out warm up cool down station close to the parking area. And I think we could still probably get at least 6 pieces along there where it would have some space where you could run in between to get to the next, run back, and it would kind of, I think it would work out nicely, have some good visibility for safety. And then also, I think it would just, like I said, work well with the accessibility options versus trying to kind of cut in to the design of the park up along that side of the woods. And so I believe I had sent everybody that ExoFit price list, and it was just a lot of the individual pieces that we could look at. And Public Works did offer to do a lot of the install for us as a way to save costs if we were willing to let them do it during the winter when it's a little bit quieter, which I have no problem with. I think that's fine. Certainly as well, if it lets us get an extra piece of equipment or so, because we're saving costs on some of that. So I think we could look at what those pieces are, you know, if there's things that we're more interested in and in putting in, or what we would like things to look like, or if we're comfortable with what my thought process was going forward with that. It also wouldn't affect wetlands in any way, because if we're kind of away from that backside where the pond is, we don't really need to go through that process because it wouldn't be affecting any of those areas.
So it'd be almost like a ribbon that, you know, you'd be going up kind of where the sidewalk is and then coming back around.
Yeah. I know it's not a perfect setup, but I do think the way that we laid the spaces laid out up on top of the park, where we lay out the softball fields, or excuse me, the soccer fields, and then have the baseball fields, that it might be a little bit of a safety impediment to have a piece of equipment up there when we have different sports going on or those fields laid out in those spaces.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see the issue with getting around that back end of the park with the fields. There's not a lot of space. They cram all those baseball fields in there and all the soccer fields and stuff. So yeah, in terms of getting equipment up there, it'd be tough. I don't know that we couldn't loop, put a path going around the border though, still back behind. There's room behind the backstops and stuff to get at least, you know, a path, and then we could get back down over towards the skate park area.
Yeah.
But yeah. I like that. I like your idea of the starting area, because that is kind of an area that makes sense. Hopefully we can relocate the dumpsters maybe to a different spot.
I can ask them to put them wherever, so that's fine. That's an easy fix.
But yeah, there's a big grassy area there. So I like that in terms of being able to build a starting spot, you know, and a place to just, you know, display what the idea is for the path and the exercise. So, yeah, the ADA stuff and the less sidewalks we have to put in, you know, sidewalks and that kind of stuff are very expensive, getting all that stuff into. So I know that can add a cost a lot. One thing I wanted to keep in mind was maybe, incorporate not only, you know, this is a starting spot, but incorporating it into, you know, doing a facelift on other parts of Mills Pond as well. You know, so for example, like in front of where the volleyball court is and the skate park and, you know, the pavilion and the playground, you know, putting in a sidewalk there. Right now it goes straight from pavement to dirt, grass and sand. There's no real defined border. You know, a car could drive directly into the volleyball court type thing. And they do drive up the hill onto the fields, as we know. So that was an area that I would love to get redesigned, kind of like the Collinsville landscape, you know, the streetscaping thing they got going on. Very similar, you know, not with the same materials, obviously, but, you know, some kind of defined border, a sidewalk, preferably along that edge. You know, with some barriers. We've talked about putting some planters in there, things like that to stop cars from getting through. I loved that idea. But if we can, you know, put more sidewalks in, but also incorporate those into the path, that would be cool. Now, Stephen, did you say you were going to go try to visit one of the other towns, one of the parks in the other towns?
I haven't even been out that way.
Fair enough. Just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I know.
No worries. I recently went for a soccer game down to a park down in Portland, Connecticut, across the river from Middletown. I hadn't been there in a, I don't know if I've ever been there, but there was a brand new facility where we played our soccer game at, which was pretty cool. They, you know, they clearly just put in all these fields and there was a splash pad and, you know, and all this other facility stuff down there. So just thought I'd throw that out there for you, Taryn, just in case, put that on your radar. They had a pretty nice setup there.
Okay. I'll check that out.
So outdoor fitness equipment and planning and discussion kind of bleeds into Mills Pond Park facility improvements discussion. But before I start getting into other stuff, I do want to round out that discussion on the fitness equipment. So in terms of timing, Taryn, what do you think is reasonable? Like if we, when do we need to select stuff by in order to have the town department install stuff this winter per se? What does that timeline look like?
I'll have to check with the company. I only got the individual pricing from this one ExoFit company because the way that they did it is individual pieces. So I felt like with the plan that I thought would work well with the space that we had, that it was a good starting place to ask them. So if it's something that we are interested in doing is those individual pieces, then I can ask him what kind of a headway time I would need to order. Pieces. And then I also have to figure out, and I guess that's where it is, if everyone is okay with Public Works doing that install, you know, how do I move forward with, do I need to bid, which I don't know that I will, because I think it'll be able to be under that dollar amount as if we do it as individual pieces versus like a whole project.
Gotcha. I don't think it's a complicated install, to be honest. They're going to be installing poles in the ground with concrete or whatever. I don't think it's a specialized install like the skate park would have been or was.
They weren't worried about putting it in. You know, that was an easy offer for them to do. So
I would like to see landscape design type things going on, though, you know, in terms of planning out where the things are going, what kind of materials around it, whether it's wood chips or whatever. We have to figure all that stuff out. And I don't know who's going to be the lead on that kind of thing. But it'd be nice to really, you know, make the best of the area with the equipment we're putting in there and design it, make it attractive and inviting.
And I'll talk more with Glenn from Public Works, because as the project administrator, he's kind of an expert in a lot of those areas. So that was why I had met with him originally to get his expertise on what all this looks like. So I'll reach back out to him too and kind of try to work with him on pushing that forward. If, you know, it's something that you're all okay with doing in that format.
Yeah, I think I like the idea, Brian, of having a timeline and just knowing, but you know, with winter coming, I don't know how much time we do or don't have. So, you know, getting something in place with an idea so this doesn't fall off the radar is the most important. And I think we all talked about concern that the funds that have been put aside to this might get absconded for other things.
Well, I think we're in a good place moving forward, and we do know that we want to do that. So, and I've already asked the question about it. And so I think if I work with Glenn and we can kind of see how that moves forward and then get a more physical plan, make it a reality. So.
I think acquiring the materials will be an interesting situation with the logistics of everything. You can't even get simple things for your house. So I don't know if it's, if these pieces are made in the United States, it might make our project simpler and easier to order. But anything beyond that, as we all know, just try to get certain fencing for your house and you're looking at 6 months to a year.
My chain's all messed up.
Buying a vehicle, forget about it. So that'll be an interesting one there.
So I guess I would say that if there are things, if everyone wants to look through that list of individual pieces and look through and see if there are things that we would like, and maybe we can come to decision on what we definitely want to have, you know, what things may be good and kind of design it that way. Because I think that's really the question that they're going to ask me is, okay, well, which ones do you want, right? Because some are going to, will probably be easier to get than others just based on how they're made. So I think it would be important for the commission to decide which pieces are, do they feel are the most, or you guys feel are the most important to have out there, you know, that are going to make it an attractive thing for people to come and use.
I agree. I think we did that before. We had looked at it. Happy to look at it again.
Okay.
You know, I've been there every weekend for soccer games because that's where my team is. And there is some space to use. I don't disagree, but if you want to send it around again, I'll certainly be happy to look. I think we have a wide variety of people from interest to gender to age. And so, you know, I think the six or seven of us can do a pretty good job picking some stuff.
Yeah, I agree. So Taryn, if you wouldn't mind resending that, because I think it's been a while since we got those documents, and then we could add it to the agenda for our next meeting to discuss specifics on what sure. looks good.
Yeah, I'll send that price list. I thought I had attached it. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. And if you have time between now and the next meeting, maybe making a phone call to some of the manufacturers or suppliers just to inquire about supply.
Well, I'll ask. I have that one contact because he's the one who sent me that price list for all those individual pieces. So I'll check back with him and just see if he can give me a general timeline for getting pieces in hand.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you. All right, any more fitness stuff specific before we move on to the next agenda item?
Well, a lot of the fitness in our community is not limited, but is geared toward, you know, younger people, kids, you know, young adults. Maybe there should be some consideration to some things that might also appeal to elderly people, you know, senior citizens, like a bocce court or something, you know, things like that where they can be involved, see young people and be involved in things like that. But, you know, it seems like that's often missing in a lot of park and rec stuff.
I'm glad you brought that up, Stephen. Ben Holden was our advocate from that angle while he was on the commission. So I'm glad to have another voice with that point of view. I agree. So yeah, as we're looking at some of the stuff that we're keeping in mind here, we should definitely if you have some ideas, or we should definitely look at that bocce court. That reminds me, we had talked about putting a, was it paddleball or something into the tennis court? Did that ever happen?
Pickleball.
Yep. We have one pickleball court painted on one of the tennis courts. It's the first tennis court next to the basketball courts. Those lines are painted on there.
Awesome. Cool.
Yep.
All right, excellent. So then moving on to the next agenda item in general, it's general improvements, or if you guys had a chance to go down to Mills Pond and just do a little survey, just, you know, looking at general ideas, like I was talking about before, some of that streetscaping, if you will, type stuff, or other things that you guys might have seen that we could improve upon at Mills Pond. I know specifically the playscape has some areas that I think need some attention from a safety perspective. But other than that, I'd like to hear what you guys have to say.
Well, I wondered if we could somehow team up with maybe the garden group that's in town, and maybe find an area where you could do like an oriental garden, which would be a sitting place for people, area to wander around a little bit. And since they've got some gardening expertise and experience, might be a good team thing between, you know, the town and the people that are involved in the gardens in town.
Well, I've been involved in the pollinator pathway, so I can reach out to the ladies in charge down there. And I don't know if we would do an oriental plantings, because we're kind of into planting native plants down there. So, but I will inquire, because we could all, because I know there's, we just finished our master gardener program, but I know next year there'll be more interns that are looking for projects, and maybe that might be something someone will take on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maggie, I just want to say, I love when I walk and run by there. You guys are doing a great job with the pollen path.
Thanks. Yeah, that whole Japanese knotweed section, you see them all growing back in the middle there. It's kind of overwhelming.
Wow. Yeah. Noble effort for sure. No. don't we already have some planting areas down in Mills Pond, like that island? I think there's a bench, there's an island. Are there any areas of Mills Pond already being maintained by the Garden Club or anything like that?
They do the area by the Peace Pole.
Okay. That's right considered there. Part of the park?
I don't know, but I did just get an email from Master Gardeners to go and work on the invasives that are down in Mills Pond, like the knotweed and the bittersweet and multiflora rose that are, it's like right by that little wet area. I think when you go in next week.
Yeah, no, I love that. As we start to look to make improvements in the park, that's a really great resource. Anyone who likes to find extra areas to do planting and weed and do, you know, it's the weeding part that's hard, right? So you can plant all the stuff in there, but keeping it up is the hard part. And that's great.
Taryn, as far as the tennis courts go, what's yep. with all the chairs?
I'm not sure. I'll get...
There must be 12 of them. They're all over the place. It looks sloppy.
Okay.
I don't even know why there would be chairs there.
My guess is they were probably there from the tennis matches from the high school, but they had them put out there at that point. And then they probably just stayed and got used for camp. So I will, I'll ask Henry to get rid of those. No problem.
Gotcha.
So I'm not able to share my screen. I don't think you... disabled it, Taryn.
Let me see.
I see you.
I just had a couple pictures I wanted to throw up.
I'm going to try it again. I think I changed the setting.
Yep. Looks like it'll work now.
Okay.
All right. So you guys see the playscape?
Yep.
All right. So right in the middle, you've got what used to be there was a globe sitting on top of that pole there, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now it's just a spear sitting next to the...
Someone decided to take the globe.
The globe, I think, got broken, maybe, and it got removed. There was tape on it. Who knows? But either way, that's been concerning me every time I see it. You know, and in general, the playscape's in decent shape, but there's definitely some areas that could use improvement there. Let's see. I've got another picture here. Hold on. All right, just slightly different angle on that one. All right. So this one I wanted to put up because it shows that parking lot border with the volleyball court. And this is standing in the area, right next to this.
Hey, Brian, I think you have to unshare and share again.
You don't see it?
Okay. Sometimes if you just share that one content, it won't go over.
Yep, my bad. All right, let's see.
There we go.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so, you know, Taryn, from like a, outside of the funding we've earmarked for fitness equipment and stuff, but like more of a larger, you know, project in the park. And again, I guess I'm saying the same thing again, but in that corner over there, that border between the parking lot and the skate park and this volleyball court,
you know,
there's a lot of room for improvement there. And I think that, you know, some simple, you know, sidewalks with planters or whatever would really finish up that corner of the parking lot, give it a more finished look to it. And, but I wouldn't want to do any of that stuff before we consider putting in a splash pad or any other kind of construction that would need to go through that space and get up into that area. So that kind of draws that into the discussion as well. We haven't talked about the splash pad in a while. I know it's something that takes a lot of pre-planning because construction will take some time. So then it's like a stage step one, step two, splash pad maybe step one. And then after that gets installed, then thinking about finishing up that edging on the parking lot, refinishing the volleyball court there if we still want that. But just I see a lot of areas where we could put some money into the park in some smart ways and really have some turn it in, just keep it up, keep it nice, keeping it look fresh. And then at some point replacing that playscape. All of that's lots of big money items. But again, things that could be done in steps, but take time and planning. So
just a couple of weeks ago, I met with someone from Millennium Builders and with Public Works to try to start getting some pricing on some of these things, redoing the tennis courts, basketball courts, splash pad, potentially a pool shell. So I have some names. I'm trying to get some harder numbers on what those are going to look like, as well as, more solid plans, especially for the splash pad as a first starting place. I do want to have that number updated. I believe that, and if it all gets approved with some of that ARPA rescue money funding, they were looking at putting the splash pad in that. So I want to have a really realistic idea of what that number would look like, what that project would look like. So the guy from Millennium sent me names of a couple of towns who just recently did splash pads, as well as, their contractors to talk to get what their plans look like. I guess now with it, splash pads used to not have to, but now it has to go through DPH as a swimming pool. So there's some guidelines within that we would have to follow, which is news, which is good to know moving forward on what that would look like. But that was at least one big project that I would like to push forward. And hopefully the town is behind, especially with that wading pool area, kind of removing that, getting it freshened and replaced with that. And then we can kind of hopefully look at a longer term plan for the park, with some of those other things that you were talking about.
I don't mean to plead ignorance, but I'm not quite sure I know what a splash pad is.
The splash pad is more of a flat surface where then it has water elements that come out of it. So you don't need a lifeguard on it. It can run, it runs on a system where, the users can turn it on and off. Okay. So it's a way to save costs, and there's different structures with the water and how it's treated. You have like a recirculated system where the water is recirculating through and being treated, or there's a runoff system. And the two of the names that the builder gave me, they actually use different methods with that. So that would be something to look at is, do you go with the recirculated system and having to treat it and then having to like really winterize it well so that nothing freezes up or breaks? Or is it that runoff system where there's no storage of water involved, but it's all new water every time someone uses it? But it gives us a lot of flexibility with the splash pad just for the fact that, during the pool season, we can have it be a part of the pool and have people in there because they'll be using the facility. But then we could also leave it open, have it open earlier in the season, have it open later, so that there's still that option for people for cooling and for a kid's activity, just because you don't need to have a guard there. So there is some of that DPH requirement with the water and then looking at it as a pool, but there isn't a lifeguard requirement, which is a good thing.
And that leads me to, another question is, I've seen splash pads open to the public.
Yep.
No fence around it. So anyone can just get up on the splash pad. And then there's also ones that are enclosed with a fence around it. So I don't know what your intentions were on that one.
My thought would be to fence it and then, but also have a gate that could be unlocked, whether, outside of those pool season times. so that it would still be available for people, but then also we could lock it once it has been winterized or closed down for the season, you know, to prevent some of that potential damage to any of the features, especially depending how we designed it, if you have things that stood up and weren't just in the ground.
Gotcha. Right, as fee-based or non-fee-based, I guess is what I was getting at. Yeah, you definitely need a fence around it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, my thought would be to have the fence, and you know, that could be a discussion, and then wrapping it, when the pool is open, wrapping it into the pool, because your guess would be that people are probably gonna be using the indoor facilities at that point. And then if they're walking and using the indoor facilities, then we would have to guard them, because once they're inside the facility, we're technically required to guard them if they're in using it. You know, and I think if we have locked gates where off of those pool times, people could still use it and it would be free at that time because we don't have the indoor facility available, or where there's that potential flow through from the pool into the splash pad. So I think that would be the confusing, is if you have one kid who wants to swim in the pool and one kid who wants to use a splash pad, and you have kids who can't necessarily go into the pool on their own because they're not of age yet. You know, it would be difficult if there was a locked gate between. So my thought would be, if we're going to have it on that site, that during the pool season, you know, that 10 to 12 week time period, that it's a part of the pool. And then, but we still have it available for people probably mid-May, you know, as soon as it's warm enough to have it available through mid to late September.
So the people coming from the park side to the splash pad would have access to it, but they would also have access to the pool, and they might not have passes for them.
Well, so that, I think we would lock it. If we were going to have it during that pool time, I think it would be, if they were, people were going to access it, they would have to access it through the pool facility.
So if the kid wants to go from the pool to the splash pad, he has to leave the pool area, go outside and go around.
Well, no, I think you could have a gate in between. Like, we have a gate there now that separates the wading pool from the main pool.
Right.
So you could still have that and then just...
I think what I'm saying is people will find a way, as mm-hmm. we've learned through the years, they will try to work the system. They'll go in to the splash pad, and then they'll go, okay, just go into the pool area, and nobody's going to have a way of checking that.
You know, I think that would be where, you know, if we have an external gate, say from the playground area, that would be locked during the pool hours, where that wouldn't be an entrance point. So that there wouldn't be a flow through into the pool from that way. You know, if they were entering during pool season, they'd only be able to enter through the main pool entrance doors, so that we would control that.
For that very reason. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. Good point, Todd.
So yeah, that was definitely on the horizon. I would agree that that's, you know, kind of a first step. But then, and keeping that open so that we could get there, and then maybe after that, you know, beautify that space once we have a better plan, and hopefully a new splash pad.
Yeah, so I'd love to put together, similar to what they're doing for the Collinsville streetscaping, you know, put together, once we get some pricing and some more firm information on this stuff and commitments from, you know, whoever's going to be doing the work, put together some, formalized, you know, plans for that, just to, in some timelines, you know, just to keep us on track, make sure we kind of get the stuff done and that we don't forget anything, and we can incorporate all that stuff.
And I think we talked too before about doing like either whether it was a list or like a 10 year plan of, you know, kind of what those priorities were. And maybe that's something that we can still put together so that as we go forward, and if we are going to do some sort of a streetscape plan, we can kind of have a priority level list attached with that.
So we always have a lot of great ideas. It's the getting funding is the problem, right? So right. Some of the bigger things like the splash pad, hopefully we can get help with that. But, you know, the things that I see, realistically happening in any kind of time frame that we put forth is going to be things we can pay for out of the special revenue fund. So just, you know, as we start to talk through that stuff, we'll have to keep that in mind, because it takes forever to get anything else approved.
Sure.
All right. Any other ideas? I mean, this is the last time we're talking about it, but any other thoughts or ideas to put out there before we move on to the calendar approval?
Well, you might think this is crazy, and I don't know whether it's ever been thought of, but, you know, sometimes you have the, I've been in different places where I've seen the, these little paddle boats that people have, and we have the pond in the back. Has there ever been any talk about trying to make some use of it for something like that? I know there's a liability issue and some questions there, but, you know, I think it would be something that would be also fun.
I think there's depth problems, isn't there, in that pond? They, like, vary, and it can be pretty shallow in spots.
Well, I mean, this is a little flat paddle boat. It's...
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, but...
Yeah, I would love to use that pond. I brought up ideas for, like, skating, you know, getting something more established down there, because it's getting overgrown. It's hard to even get down there most of the time. I haven't tried recently, but, yeah, it seems like a resource that we're not really able to take advantage of. And I think some of the hurdles are just some of the wetlands concerns and, you know, and that kind of usage. And, yeah, I mean, for the ice skating, yeah, definitely the liability portion of it. And just winters just haven't been cold enough to get that thing frozen enough for a long enough period of time. But yeah, I mean, I would be all for that. We've also talked about, you know, getting a facility on the Farmington over where they have the new DPW facility, because there was a shed over there that they are not using anymore that we potentially, we talked about getting a dock put in over there. Right. And so then, like, having some kind of, you know, boats for rent, you know, you could even get a paddle boat out on the river there. Yeah. Like when the current's not too strong. So I like that idea. Yeah, there's some challenges around that melt, around the pond itself. I haven't been able to successfully get any of those kinds of ideas through.
Well, I see, you know, there's a lot of growth in that pond, probably because it's shallowness, but you know, I say that would be a good use of it if you could do that.
I like that. Yeah, and some of the drawings from the master plan we got put together showed, you know, at least putting, you know, some workable paths around the pond, you know, and I thought maybe even getting a little like a dock that you could walk out onto to get a view of what's going out on the pond, you know, a nature walk type thing. You see those in a lot of conservatory areas where you can get, you know, different footpaths to get to different areas out there, and great educational opportunities for teaching about local, you know, the local plants and flowers and stuff you can plant along trails like that are awesome. So I would love to use more. That's a great idea, Steven. I would love to use that area more. So we'll add that one to the list. All right. So let's get the meeting calendar approval out of the way. We have a list of meetings for 2022. So now if Mondays at 7 o'clock don't work for anyone, now's the time to let us know.
You know, my conflict is just until April. I run right up against a meeting that I have for 1 year at 8 o'clock.
Okay. We generally get our stuff done in an hour, right? So if that's workable, let's see. All right. Anyone else have any conflicts? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then so do we have a motion to accept the calendar for next year?
Motion to accept.
Yep. Second?
Yep. Second.
All right, excellent. All right, so then moving down the agenda, we have other business. I have one other item I wanted to bring up, but I'll open it up to the group. I'll wait till last, unless if someone else has anything else they'd like to talk about.
I had sent out that request from Neil about that the town wanted to apply for that trail grant extension.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm not sure if anyone looked at the pictures that he sent, or he said they're coming in the proposal or the request is due October 28th. So he just was wondering if the Rec Commission would be interested in supplying a letter of support for the town to apply for that grant to extend the trail up to the shops area.
Yeah, Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up, Taryn. I did look at it. I looked over the map. It's very interesting. They're taking it from where it is. I'm sure there's going to be some improvements for the crossing there at 44 and getting over to the shops. But yeah, loops around behind the shops, back onto the golf course, old golf course and stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then comes back around the other side.
It's not an easy drop off there from that side down to, you know, more or less where the shops are. I just wonder how that was going to run.
That'll be the new sledding hill.
Well, I have a question. So part of there said it was approved like in 2002. Let me try to find the picture.
That's right. You said there was some previous, when the shops went in, there were some areas that were designed that were previously approved by the town for development behind the shops there. That's what, you know.
Yeah. So is any, so what there is owned by the town in that photo?
I think most of it. Yeah. I don't think the shops owns that land back behind the parking lot. I'm not positive about that, but. Or maybe they do, and it was approved in the building design when they went from planning and zoning, and so they agreed that they would put that in, but they weren't paying for it. I don't know. Neil could tell us the answer on that one.
Yeah, if there's specific questions that you want to ask him or you want me to send over to him, if someone wants to send them to me, or I can write them down now, or if you want to send them to me after, I can send them over to him as well and get clarification.
I guess what I'm thinking is that that stuff has already been approved by the town, right, back in 2002. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just wondering what part of that is town land. Just because I was reading on Facebook the petition about the soccer fields, and it was like a heated discussion and people arguing, and like, why can't they make soccer fields back here if it's owned by the town? What was the reasoning? I guess I just was wondering just some backstory about it.
A lot of it was access. What roads would you have to come off of Lovely Street, et cetera? I remember that part. I know somebody tried to provide an idea of putting even in other forms of business back there, golf related, back when the shops opened, and that fell through. I think the town does have, I don't know where their boundaries are around that back area is, but I know we talked several years ago about why we didn't have, you know, we could have used soccer fields the back there. That was just one fairway. It's all peat underneath there. Beautiful ground grass till it got overgrown. But I know there's some running brooks there, so you have wetland situations going on.
So I guess I'm like where the Kohl's parking lot is, you know. You know, and
that used to be a huge hill, so.
Right, and then they're going to put in, it says proposed paved trail, right? So like right back in that area, like what, that's like not.
Those are good questions. I mean, it's wetlands that run in, it's like runs into that pond, and that pond has a lot of marsh going on there, especially on that north end of the pond. So I just don't have a good idea of how much of it's even usable.
Well, no, the pond's on the other side. That pond's by Dick's. I'm talking about Kohl's, like the parking lot, all the way on the other side.
Yeah, that's the side of the hill that runs down to it, right?
There's a lot of rock ledge and all that stuff, if I remember right. Up that way.
I mean, heck, if we could throw four soccer fields back there, that'd be awesome.
Well, that's what I've been thinking. I don't know. There's like so much argument. I don't know. It just seems like there has to be some place where we can stick two or three fields someplace.
We proposed as a commission years ago. We were trying to get Dick's to kind of maybe even be the sponsor of it. You know, this would have been a great opportunity because they have all that parking back there that goes unused.
Yep.
And, you know, I think a lot of it was hedged off by the town. You know, there's a lot of issues on, you know, how do you get the, you know, you need access streets too. So it never went anywhere. It was a good idea because, like you guys said, there's easily four fields available back there.
Yeah.
And it's just being unused.
So it's worth revisiting.
Yeah. Because someone said there was actually, let me try to find it, that there was actually in 2012 a study set in, I don't know if it was this place, but they set off a Lawton fields that were off.
Yes. Yeah, we did that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, oh, I mean, that was my item I was going to bring up is the field petition that's going on after we've talked about this. But the item on the table is, do we provide a letter of support to Neil for the funding? They're trying to get the grant. They're trying to get money. So do we give them, you know, a little extra ammo to help them get the funding or the money to continue the extension of the rails thing? And I don't think that them putting that in would completely, you know, ruin any chance of getting soccer fields in. If anything, we bring it up in tandem and it can be discussed at the same time. They could even work together, getting sidewalks in there along sports fields if we're able to push it. So I don't have any issue with giving them a letter if it helps them get a grant and funding. So I'll make a motion how should we do it? Yay or nay? all those in favor of sending a letter to Neil?
I am. We've been working on this forever.
All right. That's the majority. All right. So, Taryn, I'll work with you to get that letter put together, we'll figure that out.
Okay.
So then the last item was, the field petition. I wanted to make anyone who wasn't aware of it aware that the Canton Soccer Club, organizers, administration have put together a petition for the town for more sports fields, and they're collecting signatures. So I think that's great. That's something I had thought about doing in the past, trying to get, cause it's what we need the public opinion behind, you know, the ask. We've been asking as a commission for soccer fields as long as I've been on it. And as I've heard well before that, you know, we don't own the fields down by the river, you know, so those don't even belong to the town. We have Mills Pond and we have the high school fields. We have very limited field space and there's, you know, so the search goes on for where the exact right spot is. Of course, we have the lot and field space that we identified, but we don't have to decide any of that now. I simply want to make sure everyone was aware of the petition going on that we could use, you know, in tandem to help, you know, drive some of our proposals that we've already had in the past, the lot and road situation, anything like that, and say, hey, we've got public support. Let's take another look at some of our ideas for fields. Something to think about and maybe discuss next meeting. All right. So that's it from my end.
I have a question about the petition thing with the fire department. How is the fire department not like public land, like if that field that they're using, that they're renting. And I mean, is that paid for by tax money at all? Like that they have, I guess I don't understand the whole background behind that.
Yeah. Field. Very good question, Maggie. I had the same questions when I first heard about it, cause it's an unusual situation. So Canton, when it was a small town and needed fire departments, they became private organizations. There was no public funding of the fire department. So the fire departments were originally clubs. This is going back 100 years, probably. And they stayed that way for a really long time until, I don't know, 10 years ago when the town finally incorporated the fire department, Collinsville Fire Department, into the town. So these fire department clubs, there were, I think, four, maybe five of them. And so they had their own money and they had it was their private organizations. And so they got, I'm sure they're nonprofit, you know, and tax favorable, but they're private. So then they ended up buying stuff and owning stuff. So they own that field as the Canton, as a club, as a fire department club owns that field.
Yeah, Brian, that was a great history. And people donated lands to the group for them to own if they couldn't afford to buy it as well.
Yep. So unusual story behind the fire department. And so those private clubs still exist, even though the town has control over the actual assets of the fire, you know, and that's why the town's proposing building this firehouse that's going on right now. But the club still owns that piece of land. So the town has no say over what's done with it. The Canton Soccer Club rents it from the fire department every year, pays a lot of money for it, and has a little sway over how it's maintained. And it gets used for the, you know, the jamboree every year and everything else. So, our best facility is not owned by the town.
So then the same thing applies to the softball field that's on River Road, that's owned by the fire station. And so when they get rid of that, that's why we need one by the high school.
Property is actually owned by the town.
Okay.
That whole fire department and got incorporated into the town. So they now own that. So I don't think that's theirs. That was something I asked Taryn to look into, actually, that field behind the fire department, because I saw the last public document I saw put out there, a presentation showed that the field had been dropped from the scope of the project. So I just wanted to make sure they weren't going to fail to rebuild the field. So she offered to reach out and just verify that that isn't being lost in the scope of the project. So
if they keep the softball field on River, do they need to they're still going to make the softball field by the high school?
That was what they promised when they came and talked to us, not that, you know, about a year ago, they said they would do that. Yeah. So, and it was supposed to get started already, actually, just construction of that new softball field by the high school to replace the one over by the fire department, but it hasn't started yet. So, I don't know what the current status is on it. So,
yeah, we were told that it was the you hear me? I think I'm cutting out. Am I cutting out?
Just for a second. You're back in.
Okay. We were told it was, I think, September 14th, because we were digging plants up to bring over to the pollinator pathway. And so we were kind of surprised that it hadn't started yet down there. So
I think the vote's going to determine that.
I believe that was just general project setback, which is why, you know, they were starting later than they had originally hoped to. But like I mentioned to Brian before, I believe that everything is on track with that field, where it's going in at the high school as the replacement field for Dyer Field, which is on the site of that new proposed fire station.
And potentially with funding outside of the firehouse project scope. So that's why it's able to continue without before the vote, Todd. I had that same question. I was like, yeah, you can't do anything without the money, and the money's not approved yet. So I don't know where they're going with that. But
I mean, like, what happens if the firehouse does not pass, or they can't do the softball field?
Yeah, if it were tied to the project, but it doesn't even look like it's tied to the project anymore. Yeah. So we'll find out after Taryn follows up with how they're paying for it. I'm not sure how that's going on.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Glenn and just ask for a project update on where it stands with that and what that looks like.
Excellent. Yep, the never-ending saga for more fields. So hopefully we can make some segue on this. All right, that's it from my end. Anybody else? All right, so motion to adjourn. Anybody have a motion to adjourn?
Motion
to adjourn the meeting.
Yep, in a second.
Second.
Gotcha.
Excellent. Well, thanks everyone for calling in. It was great to see everyone again, and we'll be in touch, and we'll tune in next month.
Okay. Great. Thanks, everybody.
Right. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.